Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome to this Sunday's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version. And as usual on Sunday, or we try to anyway, to make it usual, I have our cyber expert, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, joining me. And we're going to be, hey, how you doing, Nguyen?
Great.
Good. And as usual, we're going to be talking about a number of things. Well, Nguyen, I'll let you discuss the agenda for today.
Well, today we kind of talk about the RFID theft. In case you wonder what that is, and also we're going to talk about the rise of the mobile malware.
Okay.
And if we have some time, we're going to talk about the new version of ChatGPT.
Oh, okay, good. I was hoping that would be on the agenda. Yeah,
things are changing quickly.
Yeah, well, I was just looking at some news articles, and apparently the Chinese have access to all of our phones. Doesn't matter which carrier you're with, right? They've jumped in.
So, you're talking about, well, which one are you talking about? You're talking about the mobile malware, or you're talking about the ChatGPT?
Well, no, the mobile malware. Oh, yeah. I was just reading the articles earlier this month. More than a few articles appeared, and
that's the problem today. You know, everybody thinks like the malware just appeared on your PC or your Mac, but things are changing now. You know,
the text or the new email for hacking, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I guess the big concern is if you're an iOS user, as I am, and you're texting back and forth with an Android user, apparently there's some huge exposure there.
Yeah.
I didn't fully understand the whys and wherefores.
We will dive into it. But first, let's talk about the RFID theft. So we got a ton of questions this week, and one of the topics just kept coming over and over again. So what is RFID protection? And which is interesting because I think there's a lot more awareness about it than there used to be, even just like a few years ago, you know? There's a lot of confusion about how it works, or actually need how do you protect yourself. Like, and one of the things that people just question keep pop up, you know, aluminum foil, you know? And so, but before we go into that, the first question is, who's not totally familiar with RFID? And so I want to break it down to what it is and how it works. Okay?
Okay.
So RFID stands for radio frequency identifications. And essentially it's a way to wireless transmit information using the radio wave. So you can have this tiny little chip called RFID tags that are embedded in things like credit card, passport, or even driver license now. You know that, right?
Right.
And those tags contain personal information, and they can be read by scanner from a distance. And I'm telling you, so someone could theoretically walk by you with a scanner and steal your information even without touching it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's really a concern, and it's not just theoretical. There will be real cases of RFID skimming where criminals have stolen credit card numbers and other sensitive data using these scanners.
Yeah, and does that, you know, I used to see wallets advertised that had RFID protection. Is that,
before,
is that no longer valid?
It is valid, but still that's part of it, right? But before we get into that, what is the first thing that come to mind, this is the old technology. It's not something new. Like before,
right.
We're using aluminum foil. Remember aluminum foil? We wrap around the car to block signal.
Sure.
Okay. Same thing. You don't even have. You don't need to do. You don't even need those wallet. Technically, you can take those aluminum foil and put around your car. But the only problem is it's very inconvenient.
Yeah.
Right? So today they make those wallet, right? With basically kind of act like aluminum foil, but it's blocking the signal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's using the same conductive material, which means it can block radio wave. The RFID use radio waves. Typically, you know, I'm not going to, you don't have to be technical about like it's using a certain frequency that that it will block it. And when it scans it and the aluminum and this wallet will block it.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we talk about the RFID blocking wallet, like you just mentioned, it comes in the sleeve. So you just put in your card, like, and in there, it will block the signal.
So like my, let's see, what's the name? It's not TSA. Well, the Global Entry card
that
they sent me. It's got a sleeve on it. I mean, it looks like it's just paper, though. I mean, does it actually have some property?
It actually is stickers, Core FID stickers. And
okay.
That's the next thing I'm going to go next. There's a few things that we can use, okay? The first one is the sleeve, which has, you put your credit card in there and it block it, right? And the second thing is a sticker that you give it to you, they put inside the sleeve. So that's what you just mentioned, is a little blocker, like a sticker. You just type, put in, okay? And the third one is most bank will design the credit card like American Express and Visa, like I'm talking about like Platinum. They have a built-in and you have to activate it. Okay.
Huh.
For it to work. A lot of people know that, believe it or not. People don't know it.
That's not the chip. I mean, does that have anything to do with security?
It's
or
not.
Just...
It's not the chip. It's the case.
Okay.
It's the casing around the chip.
Okay.
And the one that I have is made out of metals, and I tested it. I don't have the sleeve, and I have the device that I tested, and I tried to read information. It wouldn't do it. It would block it. Okay.
Yeah.
But some bank, you have to call them and activate it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you have to.
And it's just built into the card.
Built into the card, like one of the credit cards I have is BMW. It's made by is solid metal, and it's blocked automatically. American Express also have that option, but a lot of them, such as the Bank of America or Chase, the one that debit card do not have that capability.
Oh,
that's
wow.
the one that I'm more concerned than anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well. That's interesting. You know, going back to the Chinese hacking and texting, you know, iOS to Android, I think most of us assume that our text messaging is encrypted, and it's not. And I believe that's the solution that we seek, correct? I mean, don't we need encryption for our texting as well as our email?
So that is why, well, if you look at it like just text, it's not really secure. But if you use the applications such as Signal, that's one of them, or the WhatsApp,
those Line is one we use overseas. It's had encryption for much longer than WhatsApp.
That's correct. So
anyway.
Those are the things that we use. Now, I use a Signal myself because the company did not collect any data. But WhatsApp, they do collect your data.
Okay.
Because that's Facebook, right?
And is Signal just a texting service, or does it have other, video? Or
it has. I believe it does. I only use the chat options and the call voice over IP. But I don't use the video call, no.
Okay, but it does have calls and it's group chat?
It does.
Yeah, so it's like WhatsApp and
mm-hmm.
Signal. I mean, I'm sorry, in Line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need to start using that, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've assumed for quite a while now that anything you do, either in an email, a text, or chat, quote unquote, mm-hmm. Is subject to other eyes.
Yeah.
so.
So back to the RFID. In conclusion, okay, the RFID theft is real threat. But there are various ways to protect oneself, such as using the RFID blocking wallet, that's number one, or disabling the RFID feature on the card and unaware of that surrounding. Okay, and another way to do it, also use aluminum foil.
But that's very inconvenient,
impractical for everyday use, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's going the wrong way. I want to carry less weight around and less, you know, clutter in my shoulder bag.
And if it's too inconvenient for you, then disable the RFID and just be aware of your surrounding, right?
So disable it with your carrier.
No, what I meant is if you don't even care about it, then just be careful when you're surrounding. Like if you go to the mall or you go to the airport, let me tell you, that is
I know.
People stand around you in line and at the Starbucks or at the food change.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, some bank allow you, back to the question, can you disable or enable? Some bank allow disabling RFID feature through the apps on customer service. And RFID blocking sticker can be used on the card as well. So you have option. Okay, they all will give you option.
What does the carrier get? I mean, the card company, rather. I'm sorry. What do they get out of being RFID? I mean,
well, they wind up pay for it because you're not responsible.
I understand that. But I'm saying, why do they make credit cards have RFID capability? What are they getting?
Because
that doesn't allow them any kind of geo tagging or anything like that, right?
It can be.
Really?
If you put information in there, you can put any information in there. Think about that.
Uh-huh.
Right? So now the RFID is not something new. It's always been around. Okay? But those chip, you know, like I think in Europe they use the chip before we even use it. Today we use our credit card, we still use the tape. If you look in the back of your card, there's a tape, right?
Right.
Now, so most government cards, they got two chips. They got radio chips and they got proximity chip. They got two of them. They're hidden one that you don't see it.
And those have the ability to transmit real time even when I'm not connected on a website or otherwise back to the credit card.
If you walk around with, they have a scanner, they can scan everything that you have.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
So, the reason the RFID tag can be read by a scanner from a distance because, this is a potential threat right now is the threat is very real, especially in a holiday like this. Okay. They have a giant scanner. It looked like a laptop, and they put inside their backpack, and they just walk by you. That's all they have to do. They don't have to do anything else. And that frequency is even more powerful. They can pick it up very – and it's like a team, so they have two people, right? One just deploy the scanner around people, and the other one just to actually look at the computers and look at it. And I believe there's a gang of Romanian that's in New York that's doing that back in a few years ago that I read the story. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So banks are using encryption now more frequent. Like eventually, I think all the credit card will have that option.
To turn it off, you mean?
To turn it on automatically.
To turn it on automatically.
Because you think about it. You're not consumer, not responsible. It happened to me. It happened to me last a week ago. My credit card, you know, someone spent buying stuff online, and the bank contacted me, and the first thing they credit all my money first, so they're responsible, not you.
Yeah.
So it's more.
Well, I wonder how many people even realize, because you know a lot of people. I get alerts every time my card gets used, but I'm not sure how that technology works. I mean, is it possible that they miss things because it wasn't in person? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I've had some.
But you do have the sleeve, right? You do have the RFID sleeve, right? I thought you showed me a long time ago.
Well, I only have it on the only one I keep it on is the Global Entry card. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you're when your ATM card comes in. Well, these days it doesn't come inside a paper sleeve, you know, it's just stuck to a paper, you know.
But it's very inconvenient if you travel.
Yeah.
If you travel, you need to enable somehow.
Yeah.
You know, which brings me back to the next topic I think you just mentioned. I think you're going to like it. The rise of the mobile malware, you know. So let's jump into this whole mobile malware thing with this the rise of mobile malware article and a bunch of articles out there. Okay.
Let's do this. Before we jump into that, let's go ahead and take our first break.
Cool.
And we'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show, the Cyber Edition, right here on 700 AM KSEV.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. And I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show, the Cyber Edition. I'm here with my guest, Mr. AI Nguyen, once again, and we've been speaking about RFID hacks. Nguyen, give us the acronym again. It's radio frequency something something.
Yes,
what does it stand for?
Well, it stands for the, okay, let's see here. It stands for the, I just forget myself. Oh, radio frequency identification.
There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. ID.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember either. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we used to use, well, still do, RFID for tracking inventory movements, you know, within accounting systems.
Is,
I assume it's the same type of RFID, right?
It's the same and it's very useful. Imagine that everything uses RFID, that you can keep track of things and you can scan things more accurately.
Scan barcodes.
Yeah, I mean,
movements.
It's a double-edged sword, right? It can help you, but it's also used by the bad guy, too.
Yeah, it was an amazing innovation when you think about tracking product through either a manufacturing or a distribution process. In fact, I mean, even in a simple way, every car has a barcode. You know, if you look at the VIN, I believe that's still a barcode, right?
Yeah.
That's how when you pull through a toll tag booth, I presume, that's how they're pulling the right account to charge us the toll fees. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just a common scenario. But okay, when you were getting ready to transition to
The rise of the malware. Right.
Right.
So you realize that 71% of people are using their smartphone for work now, and conservatively.
I would say that's very conservative, much more.
And according to Google, the attack increased 400%.
Wow.
For the past 2 years. And last year, even worse. I mean, this year has not been over yet, and it's increasing it. People think that maybe just my cell phone, my computers, the cell phone. Why? Think about this. Because you're limited to the real estate of the whole screen, right? And they use that against you. Because sometimes you don't know what you click, you don't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And especially in a time frame too, like during what time? Like after 5 when you're driving home, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're not talking about what I'm talking about, the danger here is not about the cat picture, your hacks, or your whole life. You were talking about your password, your photo, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You think about that for 1 second.
It's very pervasive.
It's very scary, right? And talking about that, there is a malware that I realized that because, right now, if the crypto is going up right now, right? Crypto, everybody talk about crypto.
Right.
And there's the malware designed specifically to scan and take your money. So.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And to get your security codes?
If you into crypto, you have the 12 phrases that to protect your wallet. Every wallet have 12 phrases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then this is called a secret phrase to protect your wallet. And this virus, the name of it called Cherry Blow Malware Work. So basically it's an OCR. It scans your screenshot. A lot of people, when they create the wallet and they have those 12 phrases, they take a screenshot and they save it. So this malware scan your screenshot and it understands this optical character recognition, actually understand and read your characters. And that's how you steal it.
I see.
And that's something that, this is really scary. And right now, you have to install something like a virus protection. Right?
Is there no Guardio for mobile?
It is.
Or
so
that's just email?
That's the one that will protect you. And also the interesting that I just downloaded the other way, the one application is pretty cool. Let's see what it's called. And it worked very well. And this one called iVerify. You need to check it out. iVerify, they have one for basic, but they also have one for corporate. Okay. And I just run the scan, and it tell you, I'm running a scan right now, and it tell you the health of it, the health of your phone. Make sure your screen lock's enabled. It did that. And make sure your latest iOS version installed in a check mark. And the latest version of the application you installed, yes. And Face ID enabled. Those are the four things that they look for, and they tell you scan. And they also do a scan result and put into a PDF for you to see what's going on with your phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
And is there a freemium model on
it? Is. Yeah, this one's free. This one, the iVerify, is free. But there's one for corporate, like an EDR, like Symantec, right?
Yeah.
And Norton, they also have one, too.
And you don't think that's a bunch of hackers we're handing our phones to when we do that, right?
You have to be careful. When you download something, I always told people, when you download something on the new app on the phone, look at the review. Look at how many download. That's a key indicator right now. If you look at, you've got thousands of people download this application under your iOS, it tells you that's legitimate or not. There's a feedback. Now, all of a sudden, you see a new application, nobody download, be careful. That's a red flag right there. But this one, you see that 1.2 million download. This is legit, right?
And you're using the basic, the elite, or the enterprise. Which one are you running on?
I'm using just the basic because I have other products already. Now, this one is that the iVerify is really designed for company enterprise. Because the business they have, all the user, think about it, a company got 100 employees, 1,000, they need that. So they have an enterprise version. But for a user, it costs you nothing. You just download it. At least kind of scan over your phone and just tell you the basic stuff that you actually, number one, it patch. It's up to date. Your OS up to date. That's the first thing it checks, okay. Right? That's important. And it checks for, let's see here, also your face ID enable and screen lock enable. And it also do a forensic scan too, threat hunting.
Yeah. Okay.
And all these are free, but it does very generic.
It looks like basic. I was just looking at it on my iPhone. It's mm-hmm. 99 cents. I don't know. Is that a month maybe? But whatever it is,
mine
if
is
it works.
Free. Mine is free, but I think the 99 cent, now they charge you for one time, but I believe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You might correct. Yeah.
I wonder what the difference between the elite and the basic is. The elite doesn't seem like there's a charge. I don't know.
Now, speaking of iPhone security, there are three type mobile malware. Okay, there's a virus, there's a worm, there's a trojans. Each one have a distinctive behavior and impact. Now we got all three of them, all attack us all at the same time.
Okay.
And usually it came from a phishing attack. And so a lot of people say, so what is the solution? Number one, right, is involving awareness, security awareness, a smart habit, and technology is essential. So you're aware of things around you. And secondly, smart habit, you know, stop clicking on the link. And before you download, think before you act. And then the technology, there's no silver bullet, right? But for every tool that you have, this also requires your habit and your awareness, okay? And the technology, what we just talked about, iVerify or Symantec, Norton, something, right? If you have those three, then you'll be fine.
Okay. Okay.
Now, you are talking about last week there's a bunch of like ISP, like Verizon, T-Mobile,
right.
AT&T don't get hacked. Man, that's really scary. That's really scary because, you know, they found out. So this was hacking by the Chinese. These are state-sponsored hackers. And they be able to hack into the wiretapping that the government used to wiretap people, okay? If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what is.
Well, that's probably affecting, I don't know. With AI, I guess they could process tons of information that
they can do very quickly. They can do very quickly.
You know, I always think with all these hacks, or I've always thought that, well, you know, what are the odds have anything that I, or they want something that I have, how would they have time if they're, you know, breaking in and hacking millions of people? How do they have time to process that? And I guess the answer is AI will
let them process. AI. They use AI and they learn your behavior.
Yeah.
You know, like how you go to, if you notice like how TikTok, I know you use TikTok or you use Instagram. Let's just say if you spend more than 15 seconds or maybe 30 seconds on a view, let's say for example, you like technology, you like, and automatically the next topic is going to be associated similar to what you just watched. For example, yesterday I was watching one clip from Army and Navy football play, right? The next thing you know, the next one is talking about the same thing, and the third one, the fourth time, they talk about the football, and I said I didn't click on it, but it knows its behavior. It calculates your behavior and the time you spend on that image and spend your time on that clip.
So it starts feeding you related info.
Correct.
Yeah,
so if you talk about that's AI right there. And it's dangerous. It becomes very that's how they hack into your system. They're not using humans, they're using computers.
I see.
Quantum computing.
Yeah. Well, and as we all rush out and upgrade and get stronger hardware and stronger, you know, routers and stronger connections. You know, I've, you know, recently upgraded.
It's not a magic bullet.
Yeah. Well, no, it allows them better access. You're not just helping your own mm-hmm. being able to work or browse. You know, I mean, I love a 1 gigahertz connection, but I bet the criminals do too. You know, it works both ways.
Which brings me back to the layer of approach, right? And we just talked about awareness and smart habit and technology. It has to be, you work together. It just, think about this. It's just like a car, right? Before we drive a car, oil, right? Gas. Now mm-hmm. we have hybrid, right? So one solution, all battery, I use a Tesla. I think it has some pro and con. But if you use, like, if you look at the approach, the layer approach on three. So same thing with technology. You look at it as the awareness, your smart habit, and the tools. All three, you work together, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Minimize. I say you minimize even 50%, you're still doing good, right?
Yeah.
And you've probably heard about people thinking like, hey, you know, if you know how you've been hacked, you know how someone is on your phone, it's heated up. Your phone heat up. And if your app is not running and your phone heat up, you got a problem.
Somebody else is running.
Somebody is running in the process.
In the background.
That's right.
As they say.
That's right. The worst case, I guess, is the lesson to be learned. But the worst case scenario, backup. And I cannot stress that enough. Always have a backup. And I have my backup frequently, very frequent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on iOS, so you back up to iCloud, I'm presuming?
Yep. And I do more frequent. And I back up everything. And I pay extra for a little bit of storage, but that's what I do. So that's what I recommend people. Don't forget about a backup. You can already do your best. You know, sometimes there's a saying, right? It's better to avoid than to resist. And if you have all these tools, right, and you try to avoid it, that's great. But also have a backup too. Don't get yourself into a situation that you've been hacked already. Now you have to resist. You have to find your information. You have to do all kinds of stuff. That's a mess. So that's a new concept.
Is iCloud, I've lost track, and I know I've got my iCloud settings to back up my phone very often, but I had an event here this past week where I had to back up my MacBook so I could take it into Apple to get an electrical mm-hmm. system issue resolved. And of course, even though they told me they didn't think they would have to delete the image on the disk, they did. And I learned for the first time, I've never been really into Time Machine. You know, Time Machine is their backup software. And what I mean by that is I've never had to restore anything off of it. I just know that it automates it. It does it, backs it up to
It up to the storage somewhere on
SSD, right. It's off the machine. It's not on the machine.
Correct. It's on the cloud.
But, you know, it doesn't put everything back like they told me. And but I didn't really have a choice, right?
Yeah.
But still, is there any kind of off?
There is. There
is there like Time Machine for iPhones or for Androids?
They have something like that you can back it up and more granular.
Yeah.
So it uses the same concept with like Apple, but it gives you the time frame and also a type of, for example, the problem with iCloud is when you back up everything. You restore back everything.
Well, I don't think that's a problem. I was just going to say, when I was actually at Apple talking to one of the quote geniuses, I asked, I said, I understand the very first time I used Time Machine, that's a full, supposedly, a full complete backup, but then it goes into incremental backups where it's just backing up the new stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, well, just like with other backup software, it keeps track of where all the pieces of the puzzle are, right? That it would have to restore. But I'm just curious. I mean, again, iCloud seems to work. I use my backups from iCloud. When you get a new phone, then you go, you know, to set up the new phone, you reinstall or restore.
There's an application out there. It's called the... it actually can do both increment and full, and also have an option for you to, they can send you the whole storage through the hard drive. You, of course, you pay for the premium for the hardware when they send you the storage, according to the data. But they always do this solution out there, okay? You can granularly can go into, hey, I just want this document. I just want this, and that, the photos. You can go in individually in the timestamp.
Yeah.
So there's application out there that's available. I use it myself.
Huh. By the way, I just ran my iVerify basic as we were talking. Mm-hmm. That only takes like 2 seconds or 3 seconds. How could that possibly be?
Well, it's looking for the basic. Now, keep in mind, this is the just the basic. So it's looking for, you know, now, if you look at the option, it's also run a forensic. There's an option, let me see here, that you can run a forensic that it actually, there's a...
oh, I see it.
You see that? The file?
It's under threat hunting.
Exactly.
And continue to consent. Let me do that. I'm just curious.
You can do the forensic scan result.
Yeah.
You see that?
This can take up to 8 seconds. Well, that's still pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty impressive.
That's what makes this company great.
Yeah.
So I have been using it. I like it. I mean, it's another layer of security, right?
Well, and even if it's only detecting the big stuff, you know, that's still something of value, I would say. But anyway.
Yeah. So let's just sum her up. So how can individual take responsibility for their digital security? You know, so company, technology and software, layer, right?
Yeah.
There's another, you know that Apple just come out with an upgrade on your AI, right? And what's the first thing they do? What's the first thing they recommend you to do?
Install 18.2 dot something, right? I just
That's
did
right,
it last
but
night.
Also, you go down to the setting, you go to the AI, and you do automatically update. A lot of people say, you know, let's update after.
I do download only, but I don't do install That's, only. What
well,
do you do?
They just recommend that you, the moment you update it, AI, you need to update immediately. That's what they recommend.
Yeah.
So back
well,
then, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I maybe in this day and time they've got all the kinks worked out, but you remember how the early adopters were the ones that always had issues and complained, and I got to where, okay, since it takes a while to download it, let's go ahead and have it automatically download, and then periodically I'll go run, you know, check for updates and go ahead and install them, you know, but I don't know. I mean, it is pretty interesting how adamant Apple is on certain updates, and boy, I tell you, that lets you know that there are problems and you need to do this quick when they start publicizing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
You know, back to the phone things, a lot of people I think asking, is antivirus software effective against mobile malware? Okay, that's a question I'm getting a lot, and I see 54% of the infected computer has antivirus software. So is it questioning its effectiveness? Well, antivirus software, the safety net, but it's not all complete the solutions.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, you have to take
it. Is it still more of a Windows issue than Mac? I know Mac's getting a lot of
Well, this is
malware.
Your phone. This is your phone we're talking about, so it doesn't care. And it could be your late. Now, the iPhone, one good thing about the iPhone is we call it the black box, right? Apple has the black box. But the thing is, it can reside on your memory without compromise. It doesn't have to hack Apple CPUs or... It just stay in the memory. That's what it does. And it can be a carrier. Apple, all you have to do is reboot the system. But by that time, it's too late. They got the information already, right? Don't click on the link. That's a discipline. Okay. And another question, too. What to do if your phone is infected with malware? I hear that a lot. Okay. And the step include running... First, you run an antivirus scan. If that doesn't work, and if you find it's a problem, you know what you do? Factory reset. After that, that's where the backup come in handy.
Yeah, I'll say.
Right,
but you better have them.
But
if
you
you're
need to reset.
That.
Yeah, but so.
Hey, Wynn, let's do this. I know we want to talk about ChatGPT Pro.
Oh yeah.
Let's take our break and then we'll come back and have about 10 to 12 minutes. Let's go ahead and take a break and circle back here real quick with more of the Be a Planner show, the cyber version, here on 700 AM KSEV.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. And Nguyen, in our remaining time, let's say we've got exactly 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Let's start talking. We'll introduce the topic. I don't know that we'll get through it because there's a lot there.
We just go through the general then. So we're talking about the ChatGPT Plus and ChatGPT Pro. What's the difference, right?
I like that. What is the difference? give me that answer.
Well, you have to look at first the pricing and availability. So there's not available all the country, but of course the U.S. is automatically, okay. And the pricing, So if you have the Plus, the normal one, then you have like a trial period, but very limited, okay.
Yeah.
And the pricing for the regular one is $20, which I pay, which you pay.
No, the regular one's
$20.
The regular
one, the Plus, but the Pro is $200 a month.
Yeah, I see that. I was just looking at their introducing ChatGPT Pro page. And, I mean, I look at that, and I think now, do I need this? I mean, it says it's for researchers, engineers, and
that's
other
individuals.
Where
I'm going to go next.
So okay, great. I'll let you do it. So, I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
Short circuit your.
No, because we have time.
Intel.
So, the second feature is called core feature in comparison. So it has some of the similarity core feature that you ChatGPT already have. So you have all that, you know, and the distinguished feature, the different. Is more advanced feature like prioritize.
Okay.
And they're using that's the key they use. Access cutting edge technology. Very generic, right? And a version limitations. So ChatGPT Pro is positioned as an improved version and update capability. However, any benefit from usual subject to future confirmation announcement by OpenAI. So there's some version difference on the old one. Don't have like this one does, right? And the third one is technical specifications. So one of them is a performance metrics. Okay, so what does that mean? So both version may have due change to system capability, but current usage rate and the speed and update, the Pro is a lot faster. Okay, a lot faster than I try it. Okay, and support device, the Pro can function across most devices still seamless perform and might depend on the device configuration and driver. So it's more system compatibility. The other one don't have.
Okay.
So that mumbo jumbo in tech world for you. Now network requirements, okay? So this one to say that the Pro is faster and stable internet connectivities require, well, the old one requires faster and stable internet connectivity, but this one doesn't. It keep up very high quality. It's still and to take advantage of your even low internet speed.
Okay, and so amazing. I'm going to like my 1 gigahertz connection. And by the way, I do, when I check the speed, you know, with speed test, that's Ookla's product, I actually clock about 850 down. Our up is not so good because it's not asynchronous, but it will be down the road. Or so Spectrum tells us. But we don't have fiber yet with Spectrum here where I sit in San Antonio. AT&T does. Don't have Google Fiber in our area yet. We're not where the numbers are. You know, the numbers are up north,
but still,
northwest.
It will take advantage of your low speed. So,
well, it would have to, because otherwise they're not going to sell as many of these subscriptions
so
as they think.
You know, like because this is a big data language, right? So it requires a lot of internet. But if this can take advantage of it, that's going to compress. So number four.
Well, you know? Yeah, well, $200 a month is, I would say that's getting you into rarefied air when it comes to research. And I'll just tell you, we spend more than that on a specialized tax AI product called Ask Blue Jay. And, you know, it's expensive, but man, is it, it's unbelievable in terms of what it can do. And I mean, yeah, we can ask it tax questions. And it actually has a diagram.
And I think
component.
You're gonna like this one, because one of the main features is performance. That's the key that I'm looking for. Okay,
is it?
Enhanced writing features and design for complex tasks.
Huh.
Improve accuracy. I like that. So
is the subscription just because I know you've already done it and I'm interested, but I don't like duplication when it comes to my money, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And does this $200 a month subscription, is that on demand? In other words, can I turn it off after 3 months? If
sure
I
you can. This is not something that they
so
won't lock
you into.
So it's
not a subscription commitment.
So like, the first thing I ask myself, you know, what's the catch here? Is it some kind of a marketing technique that they're doing? You know, that they give you $20, then they give you $200. Say, you know what? You pay $200 for a reason, right?
Right.
And one of the feature, you know the Sora AI, the video?
What's it called again?
Sora.
I don't.
Basically, it can create a video of like real realistic.
Oh, okay. Well, I read
when they
announced
it's this amazing guy.
This upgrade that they were going to have a video creation tool. I didn't know that was the name.
And that's
of
the
it.
Major. I think that's one of the major. So you can do, I'm talking about, it changes everything. It's the, when I ask, for example, hey, generate a lion and a fox for me. And then I said, you know, when it comes to internet security, you have to be a fox and a lion, right? So I give him more detail and ask me, what do you mean? I said, well, a fox is to recognize the trap and a lion is to scare up the wolf. So make me a video that portray that.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds. Okay? 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. It create a real live lion and a fox walking around, looking at each other and portray what I just asked him to do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about high quality, high resolution 4X or maybe 1080.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That and it also, I'll send you the photo of someone sent it to me, an F-35 with three ladies. I mean, it generated by Sora, by this app, and it blew my mind. And another thing too, additional features that they have, advanced voice mode and improved user interface. Now, which bring me to the next task, related to the task. Do you remember you and I, we ordered the AI pin? Remember that?
Right.
Okay. So at the same time, Google, AI pin has a Google function called Gemini 2.0. So it had the same feature of the voice mode. This feature is talking about. So apparently, the Google 2.0 are using it, part of their subscription. And you probably say, what does that mean? Well, imagine this. When I ask the pin to translate, it using my own voice. Like, usually it using a standard English voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it using my voice, and it translate into different languages like Spanish, Chinese, or, you know, or German or French.
Okay.
So, but $200, yeah, that's what everybody said. What am I getting, right? So I don't know yet. I just subscribed the past couple of days.
I would be curious, and, you know, I'm not asking you to do it here on the spot, but mm-hmm. maybe we could talk about this next week or in future weeks. You know, there's a lot of choices here for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know Google is really pushing Gemini. I have emails come in from them, or anytime you go to use any of their apps in the workspace area, it's reminding you that, oh, you know, this app connects to Gemini, and we're letting you use that free for a certain period. And then if you go into any of the Microsoft apps, they point out the connection with Copilot. What do you think, where's the drop-off point or the jump in? Which pond do I jump into that gives me enough, but not so much that it's you feel guilty if you're not using it because you're paying a lot of money each month?
So, you know, that is a difficult question, and I think, well, not difficult.
Well, and I'm not asking you to answer it.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, and we could. I think what we ought to try to do is develop some profiles, mm-hmm. user profiles, mm-hmm. and say, hey, here's where we would recommend you start, and then, you know,
I always recommend people start with the minimum, the feature.
Yeah.
And then for me, myself, I use ChatGPT every day, and I use Google Gemini.
But does Gemini have similar levels of sophistication, or is it just all or one?
The question is, uh-huh. Microsoft, Copilot, and Gemini all came from ChatGPT. You know that,
okay.
right?
They are,
and
okay.
Even Apple AI, they all came from ChatGPT.
And are they
the
still being driven by
yes.
ChatGPT?
Yes. Yes.
So,
their core are still ChatGPT.
Yeah. When we're down to 1 minute, so let's wrap up quickly. And this is a great introduction, and I can see we'll be talking about this for a long time. Well, there we hear the music now.
We'll talk more next week.
Yeah, we'll definitely have Mr. AI Wynn back. We appreciate you listening to us today, and if you find this topic interesting, shoot us some questions, 713-581-0195. That's 713-581-0195 is the best way to reach us with either voice or text. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back on Friday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.